Mama Snow.
Flowed at the cross.
Amen.
came to Jesus, I was thirsty and dry. Nothing could fill this longing of mine for a small drink. Chad Colburn. But we're going a little out of order than originally planned. I know everything's been so structured all week long. And here I come messing it all up. But the pastor was kind enough to allow me to go first tonight. And I'll be mindful of the time. I know that God has given Brother Chad something that we need to hear. And so I'll say my piece and get out of the way. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and we'll be in the book of Genesis in just a little while, but we're going to start in Romans chapter 4. I appreciate your prayers for our family. This church is a friend of ours. Your pastor is a friend of mine. And I greatly appreciate your prayers, your fellowship, and God's allowed our paths to cross, and I thank the Lord for it. We hadn't been traveling very long when we came here for the first time, and we just kind of fell in love with this church, and God's given you something special here, and given you a good man of God to lead you, and you're very blessed church. And so I'm always pleased to be able to be back here. We intended on being here earlier in the week, and the Lord just had other plans. We're traveling a long distance, and you probably know the story. I won't take time to tell it, but great distance of traveling, and then in the course of the weekend, I picked up some kind of cold or something, and I had no voice. And I was just amazed just a few minutes ago when I was singing what was coming out of my mouth, because I haven't been able to sing like that in several days. So I thank the Lord for that. But now we look to the Word of God. And Romans chapter 4, if you found your place, if you'd stand with me, I'd appreciate it if you're able. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. And we'll read down through verse 8. The Bible says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory." Look at this next phrase. "But not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I want to look tonight at the conversion of Abraham. I want to look at the conversion of Abraham tonight as taught by the Scripture. And I believe as we look at his conversion, then prayerfully the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts tonight and show us our own need, if we're here tonight lost, your own need to be converted. And if you're here tonight saved, hopefully you'll see in his testimony your very own testimony. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We are so thankful for your blessings on us this day. God, you are good to us. And Lord, we don't deserve, I feel like Jacob when he said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy benefits. Lord, that's the way I feel tonight. But Lord, I sure am thankful for them. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, giving those health and strength to be here, to hear your word. And God, we know that there are a million things going on in our lives outside of this building. But God, for the next few moments, Lord, help us. God, help us by your Spirit to focus on your word and what you have to say from us from your precious word. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to each and every heart. Father, we pray if there's someone here tonight who's unsaved or unsure of their salvation, God, I pray they get that nailed down tonight. I pray, dear God, Lord, there's nothing more important than the soul. And there's nothing that lasts forever except the soul. And God, I pray there's someone here who's unprepared for eternity. God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Draw them, put them under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. And Lord, may they see themselves as a sinner in need of Christ, and that he is the only hope that they have. And God, I pray that you would do that work. Lord, do that work that we cannot do. Speak to hearts, God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, plead with souls tonight.
Yes, sir.
We'll thank you for it and praise you for it. And Father, for those of us who are saved, God, I pray that we have a burning desire, a renewed vision to see souls come to Christ. God, I pray that you would work through your word now, meet the need in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm going to remove my jacket. I hope that's okay. In Romans chapter 4, we have very clearly the testimony of Abraham, the great father of faith, as he's called in the Scripture. And we are told very clearly in this passage that Abraham was not justified before God by his works. Now, if you read James chapter 2, you'll see that Abraham was justified by works, but not before God. Abraham was justified by works before man, when he, by faith, followed the instructions of God, when God told him to take Isaac, his son, up on that mountain and offer him as a burnt offering to him. Now, you know the story. God intervened, and he spared Isaac, but not before Abraham had already committed him to God. By faith, he believed that God could raise up Isaac from the dead. And we look at that and we say, well, that's pretty good faith. But you know, we can look back on history and see several times where God raised someone from the dead. Abraham did not have that history to look back on. At that time in history, no one had ever been raised from the dead before. And so Abraham had great faith in God, that God was going to raise up Isaac. And he had that faith because of what we're going to talk about tonight. It started, his great faith started with what the Bible describes in verse 3 of Romans 4, where it says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is the moment that Abraham was converted, when he placed faith in what God told him, God gave to him as a gift. Not a reward, but as a gift, he gave to him his righteousness. Now, you know what? You're sitting here tonight, and I'm standing here tonight, and according to the Word of God, there's not a one of us that has enough righteousness in and of ourselves to get to heaven. Listen, it doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how good people think you are not righteous enough to go to heaven on your own. What we all stand in need of is righteousness that supersedes ours. We need supernatural righteousness, and that only comes through one source, and that source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we place faith in what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he died for our sins. Amen. And he rose again the third day. That resurrection was God's stamp of approval upon the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. When we place faith in what Jesus Christ did in dying for our sins on that cross and then rising from the dead 3 days later, when we place faith in what Christ did, God gives to us his very own righteousness.
Yes, sir.
It's an amazing thought when you think about it, that if you have trusted Christ as your Savior sincerely, you've turned from your sin and turned to Christ, that you have within you the very righteousness of God. That blows my mind. Because I know what I am without the righteousness of God. And it's not a pretty picture, amen? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, that is Christ, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. When Christ died on the cross, he died for all of your sins and all of my sins and every sin that's ever been committed or will be committed. Christ paid the price on that cross. And he did such a good job of it that God, 3 days later, raised him from the dead. That means his sacrifice was sufficient.
Yes.
And all it requires on our part is faith. Now, faith's a big word in the Bible. It may only have five letters, but it's a big word. It encompasses a lot of truth. Faith does. True faith is always coupled with true repentance.
Yes.
And you can't have true faith without having true repentance. Say, what is repentance? Repentance is turning from your sin, turning from yourself, turning from whatever you're trusting in, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, the Bible says, believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, what's interesting about this, the salvation that Abraham had, is the workings of this salvation differ nothing from the workings of our salvation. Abraham was not saved by faith and works. He was saved by faith.
Right.
Just as we are. Abraham predated the law. We're also given another example here, in the example of David. David, the Bible says, was also saved by grace without works. Verse 6, it says. David lived during the law. And so they're both saved by faith. Excuse me just a moment. So we find here in Abraham's life and David's life, before the law, during the law, after the law, salvation has always come by faith.
Yes.
Now, what I'm interested in Abraham's life, is I'm interested in when he was converted. I'm interested in when he was converted. Verse 3 is a quote from a previous scripture. The Bible says, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." It's at this moment that Abraham receives God's righteousness. So it's at this moment that Abraham is saved. Now let's find out when this moment is. Turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And we will read the original quote of Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Genesis 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision." Now this Abram is the same as Abraham. Okay? Now God later changes his name from Abram to Abraham. So it's the same man. "The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Aren't you glad that God is our shield? Amen. It's not part of the message, but I needed to read that right then, right now. God is our shield. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What can man do unto us? Amen. God before us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hold my coat while I shout a while. Verse 2. "Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Now let me just give you a little background here. The Lord had previously promised Abraham a son. And that son would be great and would lead to descendants that were to multiply as the stars of the heaven. That's the promise that God had given Abram concerning his son. Now, many years have passed since that promise was given, and Abram is now starting to think. Amen? Now, thinking's not always a bad thing. But sometimes it gets in the way of God doing something in our lives. Because we try to reason stuff out instead of just taking God at His word. And so Abram starts thinking, well, Lord, maybe this is Eliezer. Maybe that's who you're choosing as my heir. Look what the Lord says in verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." I like God is so clear about things. Amen? Doesn't leave it up for questioning. "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Watch it, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So it's at this moment, this is where, this is the original scripture that Romans 4 quotes. This is the point where Abram receives the righteousness of God. At this moment. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful moment in Abram's life. But let me say this. This is not our first introduction to Abram. We have been reading about Abram now for about 3 chapters. Before we get to this point in Abram's life, God has already been at work in Abram's life. I want you to turn back, look at chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." So previous to chapter 12, sometime during chapter 11, he's spoken to Abram, and this is what he said. "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Here is where we find the first interaction recorded between God and Abram. And what do we find? We find God speaking to Abram. Now, you know, I think a lot of times we get our traditions in the way of Bible teaching. And, you know, sometimes I think we have it in our minds, well, until a person gets saved, God can't speak to them. I don't know about you, but God spoke to me many times before I got saved. Amen? God was speaking to Abram here, and as a child growing up, and even until just recently when I really made this connection, until recently I just had it in my mind, well, Abram got saved when he heard the call of God and he left his home. But that's not what the Bible says. Retract that amen. Amen. Sorry, I was leading the witness. We just have it in our mind, well, God called Abram and Abram left all and he followed God. Yes, he did, mostly. God said, leave your country. He got that part. He also said, leave your kindred. He didn't do too good on that one. He brought Dad along until Dad passed away. He brought Lot along. He became a thorn in his side.
Yes, sir.
But he partially obeyed the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He heard God's word. God spoke to him. And Abram, in obedience, follows God. Yes. Right? We're still in the Bible.
Right.
He follows the Lord. He's obedient to the Lord. You go down through these chapters, and I just want to hit some of the highlights here. The end of chapter 12, he has a lapse of faith in the Lord. He goes down to Egypt because of a famine.
Yep.
And how many people have gone to Egypt because of a famine?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
Egypt, the type of the world. Don't look to the world to care for you. God will take care of you. Amen?
Yes,
but he goes down to Egypt, and while he's there, he comes up with this lie, really, if you just tell it what it is. He gets Sarah to lie for him. And long story short, let me just say this. God protected Abraham and his family in Egypt. Even though Abram was not living by faith at this time, even though he went against the will of God, God still protected him.
Yes, sir.
So we've got God speaking to Abram. We've got God's protection over Abram in a miraculous way. He protects Abram. Then you come to chapter 13, and look what chapter 13 has to say. Verse 2, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Let me ask you a question. How do you think he got those riches? Come on, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights. Amen? God was blessed. That was a good spot for that amen. You're doing good. God blessed Abram. He was blessing him. He was protecting him. He was speaking to him, and Abram was responding. And look what else it says in verse 3 of chapter 13. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. You know what Bethel means?
Yep.
The house of God. Bethel's the house of God. This is not the first time Abram's been to the house of God. He visited there in chapter 12 too.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? He's going to the place where he meets with God.
Yeah.
We would call it today, he's going to church.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's a good thing to go to church? Absolutely. Absolutely. He's going to church. He's at Bethel. Look what it says in verse 3. Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Look at verse 4. Unto the place of the altar.
Yep.
Now, he didn't just stumble upon an altar. He built this altar.
Amen.
Abram had built an altar, and this altar was not built to the pagan gods that he grew up with. This altar was built to God, the one true God. He's got an altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice. Look what it says at the end of verse 4. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now you know what? If I didn't have Romans chapter 4... If I didn't believe that he got saved in Genesis 12, I sure would have put him down getting saved right here.
Yes, sir.
He called on the name of the Lord.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Come on. I mean, our favorite verse.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a great verse. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yep.
So we would look at this. I would look at this and say, right here. Abram received the gift of righteousness right here. But the Bible says, no, he didn't. He's praying. He has an altar. He's going to church. The end of chapter 13, he separates from worldly Lot. He has separation in his life. He has standards. He has convictions. In chapter 14, we find him saving Lot's skin. Lot has moved into Sodom.
Yes.
And Sodom has been taken captive by an invading army.
Yes, sir.
And Abram, he arms his servants, and he takes his servants there to the battle, and they win the battle, and they get back Lot, and they get back everything that Sodom had. And the king of Sodom says, listen, Abram, if it wasn't for you, we'd all be toast. So you just take whatever you want. You take whatever you want, just give me the people, and the rest is yours. Take all the spoil. You know what Abram said? I don't want anything you have.
Yes, sir.
You keep it all. Yes. He said, I don't want it to be said that Abram was enriched by Sodom.
Right.
He was taking a stand. Would God we had more people in this day and age who had more fear of God than the fear of the government or the fear of others. And just say, right is right, wrong is wrong, here I stand and I will not move. He said, listen, I got no problem saving you from death. But I don't want anything you have.
Yes,
because
sir.
What you stand for, I stand against.
Right. That's right.
He's taking a strong stand. You know what else you find in chapter 14? You find Abram tithing.
Yes, sir.
Whoa!
Yep.
Come on, it's a Baptist church. You knew we were going to get right.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Abram is giving tithes of all he has to Melchizedek, the high priest of God.
Yes, right.
Now, you know what? You and I both, we would all look at Abram and we'd say, that's a man who knows God.
Yes,
he hears his voice. He follows. He obeys. He separates from the worldly. God's protecting him. God's blessing him. He goes to church. He prays. He's got an altar. He's got some sacrificial giving in his life. He's tithing. He's taking a stand for right. He has all of these outward things. And yet, you know what? Abram still does not have saving faith.
Yes, sir.
You can do all of these things. All of these things are good things. But not one of them, and not 100 of them, will pay the price for your soul. What concerns me, Pastor Colburn, what concerns me is that in our travels, I believe the churches we go to, they're filled with good people, good-hearted, meaning people. But they are trusting everything else except Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
They're trusting their church membership. They're trusting their own goodness. They're trusting their track record of good works. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, except none of those things can save you. Well, I pray. Abram prayed. He probably prayed a lot more than what we do. Well, I said the prayer. What prayer did you say? Well, the sinner's prayer. Show me that in the Bible. There's not a magic formula that you repeat in order to be saved. There has to come a time in your life where you say, I am hopeless, I'm helpless, I'm a sinner without God, and I'm going to go to hell unless I trust what Jesus Christ did for me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As great as a man as Abraham was, had he not placed saving faith in God, he'd be burning in hell tonight. Because it's not about how good we are, and it's not about all the works that we have done. You know what I found out about good works? The person most impressed with them is the one doing it. It's true.
It's
true.
Hey.
Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Right.
Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? Do you know what the Lord called them? Workers of iniquity. They're looking at their works saying, my, they're wonderful. God's looking at them saying, boy, that's full of iniquity. How can that be? Well, the scripture tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God.
You're right.
We could never bring our righteousness to God and impress Him.
Right.
You might impress me, but I'm not the one you're standing before on Judgment Day.
Right.
I'm not the standard. You might lay your works beside mine and say, well, my works are a lot better than yours. They very well could be. But you being more righteous than me just gets you to the same hell I go to.
Right.
Were it not for the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You See, the Bible says when we go about comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. The standard is not me or you or your grandma or the preacher or the pastor, the best person you know. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And unless you are as righteous as Jesus, you will die in your sins and go straight to a devil's hell. Now, you know what? I'm thankful to be able to preach with confidence tonight that that is not God's desire for you.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
There's that repentance again. Turning from sin. Turning from self. Turning from your own works. And laying hold on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Say, what kind of faith do I have to have? How much faith do I have to have? You know, faith is measurable. You can have great faith or little faith or no faith. So how do we know how much is enough faith? You know, Jesus said, I'm the door.
I'm the door.
It's as simple as walking through a door.
Yep, door.
It's not hard to be saved. It's very simple. You don't have to have a certain education level in order to be saved. You don't have to have a certain income level in order to be saved. You do have to meet the qualifications. What's the first qualification? Well, the Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Yeah.
You got to be a sinner.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be surprised how many people don't think they meet that qualification. But let me assure you here tonight, you meet that qualification. No problem. You meet that qualification. But Jesus did tell the Pharisees, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. You know, those Pharisees were so filled with self-righteousness that they could not see themselves as a sinner in need of salvation.
Right.
And if you can't see that, then you can't be saved.
Yep.
But I'll be honest with you, it didn't take a whole lot of soul searching to find out I was a sinner. It didn't take a whole lot of work to find out I'm not as good as Jesus. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
So if you're a sinner, you qualify for salvation. That's good news, isn't it?
Yep.
And you have to be willing to turn from yourself. Turn from your sin. Turn from what you're trusting and place all of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is faith and repentance. Paul calls on all men everywhere to repent.
Yes.
That is scripture. That's Bible. That's what God calls upon us to do. Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you've sinned against the holy God.
Yes, sir.
And though you'll never be able to remember all your sins, you can't repent of all your sins. You can repent of being a sinner. You need to own that you're a sinner, and you also need to come to a point in your life where you say, I want Jesus more than I want my sin.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And at that point, you're ready to have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, whether you say a word or not, the moment you place faith in what Jesus Christ did for you, that is the moment that God gifts to you the most precious thing you could ever have, His righteousness.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
It sure is good to know that you're right with God.
Yep.
That the war is over. That there's peace with God.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know something about this war? This is the only war in which the one who submits wins.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Isn't that amazing? As soon as you say, Lord,
you win. He says, no, you win. If you haven't come to that point in your life, I already mentioned, it's not about the words you say. I'm talking about the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You're confessing to the fact that you've been saved. You don't have to say anything to be saved.
Yes, sir.
What about whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord? That call comes from the heart. You can say anything and not mean it. We live in a world that's filled with that mess. But when the heart calls to God, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need Christ. God hears that call, and God gives His righteousness and His salvation to everyone who believes.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
In many ways, I was like old Abraham. I wasn't as good as he was, but I think I looked pretty good. But I just got to the point in my life. I was 17 years old, grew up in church, grew up in a preacher's home, knew the gospel inside and out. Here. But I got to the point where I realized I don't care about looking good anymore. I want to be right with God. And it was the greatest day of my life when I just swallowed my pride, came to Christ, the one I'd sung about, preached about, testified of, witnessed of.
Yes, sir.
Because you can do all of those things and not know the Lord. Well, I finally got to the point where I realized I'm not working for my salvation. I'm trusting Jesus alone. What is everybody going to say? I didn't care. And guess what? All the saved people were happy for me. All the saved people rejoiced with me.
Yes.
And all the unsaved people stuck their lip out.
Well, he said he was saved already. What's wrong with him?
Well, what was wrong with me is not wrong with me anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
You know what I found out? I found out that people who have experienced the forgiveness of God are a lot quicker to show that forgiveness to those around them.
Amen.
I found that to be very true. You might be here tonight and think, well, preacher, I can't come forward. I can't get saved tonight. What are people going to think? And what about this? What about that? And people are not going to understand. Listen, you just hang on. You're about to hear something that will shake the world. Just be obedient to the Spirit of God. Because remember, on Judgment Day, You're not kneeling in front of me or anyone else in this room. It's you and the Lord Jesus. That's who you're going to give an account to. And you're not going to be able to say, well, I would have got saved, but that person over there was a hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Yeah. Right. No. With the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because you know what? Your salvation is not dependent on me or anyone else. I didn't die for you. Jesus. You're going to have to answer the one who paid the ultimate price for
you.
If I was here tonight and I was unsaved or unsure, I just can't know that tonight. Let me say this. How do I know if it's the Spirit of God or the devil?
You ever had that conversation with yourself? I have. I'm not afraid to admit that. How do I know if it's the Spirit of God or if it's the devil? You study your Bible. You know what the devil does?
Yes, sir.
He asks questions. Yeah, you got thoughts said. You know what he's doing? He's laying seeds of doubt in our mind. The Spirit of God will make statements.
Yes, sir.
He'll make statements. He doesn't want you confused.
Right.
The devil wants you confused. The Spirit of God does not want you confused. The devil is the author of confusion. But the Spirit of God made it plain. He made it plain to me. Now you're going to have to be honest in order to hear the Spirit of God. You're going to have to be honest with yourself and be ready to do whatever He tells you to do. This is the most important thing you'll ever face in life. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
If tonight was it.
Yep.
If tonight was it, you breathe your last tonight. Are you ready to meet God?
Yes, sir.
Say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. There's something to be scared of. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a holy God you're going to have to stand before one day, and smirking isn't going to get you through.
Right.
Say, it's just that preacher, but he said, it's not what I said, this is what the book says, the Bible. This is God's Word. Men didn't write this book, God did.
Right.
And you're going to have to take it up with Him. All I'm trying to do is help you to be prepared for that day.
Yes, sir.
Now, I can't save you, but Jesus can. And He wants to. Even though you've been rebellious against Him, He still loves you and He wants to save you.
Yeah.
I thank God for being patient with me. He said, well, you're only 17. Yeah, but I grew up in church. I heard the gospel hundreds, probably thousands of times. I heard the gospel, and I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. God was patient with me and long-suffering with me. But listen, do not fool yourself or kid yourself. There will be a last time. The Spirit of God, He will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit of God is done dealing with your heart, you are done.
Right.
Well, I'll just get saved. Not without Him, you won't. Just impress. I want to impress on your heart tonight the urgency of this matter. Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come.
Yes, sir.
Your way. You don't know what's going to come your way even tonight.
Amen.
We may not make it. Maybe none of us make it out of here alive. I don't know. You don't know. I surely wouldn't jeopardize and gamble with my soul over what I think is going to happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord loves you. He wants to save you.
Yes, sir.
Being as good as Abraham is not going to get you in.
Yes, sir.
It takes His righteousness. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. God, thank You for the precious Spirit of God. Lord, I pray right now that You would do the work in hearts, Lord. Try to be yielded to You. Try to not get in the way of the message. God, I pray that Your Spirit would do the work now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
I couldn't make it any more plain than what he just made it.